I used to have a real life, the kind of life with a job that produced a living wage paycheck and came bundled with a membership to Costco. It was in that previous life chapter that found me at Costco waiting to have new tires mounted on my car. Costco, for those of you who do not know, is a dangerous place. To be stuck in a holding pattern, pushing a ginormous cart with time to kill. I intentionally entered the store without taking a cart and deliberately deposited myself in the book section, seeking safe diversion. My understanding of spirituality was radically reoriented that day in the Costco book section. The title, Christ Plays in 10,000 Places, caught my eye. And after perusing through the table of contents, I promptly flipped to the end of the book, assuming that if I read the epilogue, I could avoid spending $16. This is where I started reading in Eugene Peterson's book. Two things, absolutely basic to the Christian life, are, unfortunately, counter to most things North American, which makes this intersection a confused place, clogged with accidents, snarled traffic, and short tempers. To begin with, the Christian life is not about us. It is about God. Christian spirituality is not a life project for becoming a better person. It is not about developing a so-called deeper life. We are in on it, to be sure, but we are not the subject, nor are we the action. We get included by means of a few prepositions. God with us, Matthew 1:23. Christ in me, Galatians 2:20. God for us, Romans 8:31. With, in, for, powerful, connecting, relation-forming words. But none of them making us either subject or predicate. We are the tag end of a prepositional phrase. The great weakness of North American spirituality is that it is all about us, fulfilling our potential, getting in on the blessings of God, expanding our influence, finding our gifts, getting a handle on the principles by which we can get an edge over the competition, and the more there is of us, the less there is of God. The epilogue captured me, and I had to start at the beginning of the book where the author develops the term spiritual theology. Two words. Spiritual theology. Two familiar and basic words that we in this Christian life value separately. Odd that I hadn't noticed them married to one another before. It seems natural and organic to enmesh them. I like the word organic. By way of dictionary, it means a relation between elements of something such that they fit together harmoniously as necessary parts of a whole. If you tear apart two necessary elements of a whole, you don't multiply the value. You destroy the whole and potentially the parts. We know the story. In fact, we know the song, and maybe even the hand motions. The wise man built his house upon the rock, the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came tumbling down. Jesus concludes his sermon on the mount, contained in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, with a story about rock and sand and building something. and how there is organic connection between what is built and what it is built upon. The entire sermon is a blueprint, and so it is fitting that Jesus ends his sermon with this illustration, Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. Matthew 7. In fact, you probably know it by heart. Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the flood came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell. And great was its fall. We know the foundation story. We know about the rock. We know from our kindergarten theology that the foundation has to be Jesus. That knowledge has been with us a long time. Perhaps the audience that was listening to Jesus also had a theological perspective that had been with them a long time. When Jesus got to the point in the sermon right before the wise and foolish builders, they heard him preach about false prophets and people who say, "Lord, Lord, look, look what we did in your name." To whom the response is, "Get away from me. I know you not." Then comes the two builders and the onslaught of storm and the standing firm or falling flat. Flashback to Ezekiel 13. And there is a stunning discourse in that Old Testament chapter about false prophets and people who build walls and the prophets who whitewash those walls in the fury of God's wrath. Being unleashed in violent wind, his anger vented in hailstones and torrents of rain, the demolition of walls, tearing things down to foundation. The walls. We talk about how important it is to attach what we are building to the rock foundation. But we never talk about the walls. Simplistically, there are two elements in the framing of a wall. Two elements that, when combined to specification, make a wall worth attaching to a foundation. Two elements, the vertical studs and the stabilizing horizontal pieces, which include a top and bottom plate and lintels above doors and windows. Two words. Spiritual theology, two elements, vertical and horizontal, two outcomes, standing firm or falling flat. Theology is what we know and comprehend of God based on Scripture. It is the effort that our brains put into religion. Theology, like the studs, the vertical elements of a wall, are necessary and can be load-bearing. We've got studs. So did the Pharisees. Jesus called them whitewashed. Spirituality is the horizontal element. Listen to Eugene Peterson's definition. Spirituality is the insistence that everything that God reveals of himself and his work is capable of being lived by you and me. Here's the catch. In community. Intense definition of relationship. I think I'll repeat it. Spirituality is the insistence that everything that God reveals of himself and his work is capable of being lived by you and me in community. Spirituality is relationship. God relationship in community. Spirituality and theology together form walls that can be anchored to a foundation. The vertical elements have to have organic intersecting connection with the horizontal elements. There has to be a horizontal bottom plate to anchor the wall to foundation. There has to be a horizontal top plate to stabilize the wall for the ceiling joists to bond with, so the weight of the roof can transfer to the vertical studs. The doorposts are reinforced to be load-bearing, and the horizontal lintels above transfer weight and add stability. All the parts connecting and intersecting following the specifications of a blueprint, organic. What we have in our heads, our theology has to find its way to intersect with our hearts, from whence comes the practice of spirituality. This is not how we do religion. We routinely cut our studs way too short because we refuse to use the blueprint. It says so in Revelation. In the message to Laodicea, we can neither see nor hear because our theology is cut so short. It doesn't include our eyes or our ears, and it doesn't even come close to piercing our hearts. We routinely overlook installing the horizontal bottom plate, the relationship with God that ties a wall to the foundation. Instead, we attempt to attach our vertical theology, what we know, directly to the foundation. We know the vertical theology, thou shalt not murder, but we refuse to stabilize the studs of truth with the horizontal application of spirituality when we fail to recognize that our words can and do kill. We try to install doors and windows without the horizontal lintels above to stabilize and distribute the weight appropriately. We know the vertical theology, thou shalt not commit adultery, yet we routinely allow our hearts, the sanctuary that God seeks to dwell in, to be corrupted by lust quicker than our bodies. We try to install the ceiling joists directly to the studs without the stabilizing weight distributing benefit of the horizontal top plate that should cap the top of every wall we build. We know the vertical theology, thou shalt have no other gods before me, yet we routinely allow our hearts, the place God desires to inscribe his law and where he desires to make new covenant with us, to be anathetized, made numb by lusting after a plethora of self-generated veggie god substitutes. We have tampered with God relationship by injecting ourselves as subject, predicate, and verb. Our theology is head application of the law, resulting in heartless performance, demanding from others what we ourselves are incapable of. On the other hand, our spirituality has lost sight of the fact that God is holy, and sin in any form does not exist in his presence. Our hearts are myopic and incapable of seeing beyond self. There is an 18-inch disconnect between our theology and our spirituality, which we have filled with the capital I. The result is that we have created a genetically modified religion. The intersection, the convergence of the vertical and the horizontal is the heart. Spirituality is to be practiced from the convergence point, the heart. Why? Jeremiah 31:33, this is the brand new covenant that I will make with Israel. When the time comes, I will put my law within them, write it on their hearts and be their God, and they will be my people. This is plural, not singular. This is covenant with community. God with us collectively in our midst, in the sanctuaries of our hearts, and when God is present, there is always horizontal, relational demonstration of his presence. Idolatry destroys our hearts and eliminates the horizontal elements from our walls. We have minimized idolatry, which is how we reduce God to our comfort zone, and by the same means we reduce other people to things that we use and manipulate. We have attempted to play as creator and have birthed a genetically modified religion. Strap on your seatbelt, this part's going to get dicey. This is how we can sit in required chapel at Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary and respond like immature prepubescents to the real-life issue of homosexuality. We reduce the pain that inflicts God's heart as he watches his creation decimated by sin. And we reduce the people who wrestle with or embrace the decimation when our hearts should throb and cry and lament no different than God's. If we were organically connected to the rock, we would feel every pain that God's heart feels at the impact of sin, and we would seek to be nothing but channels of his love to a sin-sick world. Instead, we are whitewashed walls. We haven't bothered ourselves with spiritual theology. We practice genetically modified religion daily. Spirituality is not practiced in isolation. What we do in isolation does not constitute spirituality. Every footstep we take is spirituality. Every word we utter is spirituality. It is so much easier to do spirituality my way, reducing God and reducing others. We put right before our faces the stumbling blocks of our own iniquity. We have built our house with our own idolatry. Whitewashing is fast and cost-effective. Idolatry is subtle and easily excused. We belong with the false prophets in Ezekiel 13 with our flimsy excuse of a wall slathered in whitewash to cover up our laziness and refusal to be doers of the word, inviting the wrath of God. The walls that connect to the rock foundation have to be constructed with both the vertical and the horizontal elements. We mess up the construction of our walls because we skip the practice project that is intended to hone our carpentry and blueprint reading skills. A practice project with only two parts: how to get one vertical stud to intersect with one horizontal beam. It's called the Pick Up Your Cross and Follow Me project. Obedience, putting into practice what we know of God and his work, requires a sacrifice and involves a cross. Building a cross requires spiritual theology, organic connection between the vertical and the horizontal. Crosses are not built with theology alone. Theology alone protects idolatry. The convergence point of spiritual theology is the heart and requires living with God in community. Death to self only happens in living the horizontal application. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. The walls that connect to the rock foundation have to be constructed with both the vertical and the horizontal elements. We construct the walls with spiritual theology, so that there are doorposts and lintels, because the blood of the Lamb is applied to both the doorposts and the lintels. If we change the blueprint and do away with either element, there is no place for the blood of Christ to be applied the crowning point, the pinnacle of idolatry is the attempt to eradicate our need of a Savior. Therefore, speak to them and tell them, Ezekiel 14, 4 and 5. Thus says the Lord God, any man of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I the Lord, who? I the Lord will be brought to give him an answer in the matter in view of the multitude of his idols in order to lay hold of the hearts of the house of Israel who are estranged from me through all their idols. Children of Abraham, it is time for us to get out of our heads and into our hearts. God is here confronting our idolatry head on, seeking to recapture our hearts. Matthew inserts editorial commentary at the end of Jesus' sermon. The audience was amazed, perhaps a little stunned, maybe left with their mouths hanging open. A response that indicates that there was an impact from the words that went deeper than their heads. Christ's words sought to penetrate heart territory, to recapture their hearts for the new covenant, heart application of the law, covenant relationship with God to be practiced in community. According to Ellen White, Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings, page 147, while the hearts of the people responded to his words, few were ready to accept them as the guide of life. Genetically modified religion is infinitely easier. Two words: spiritual theology. Two elements, vertical and horizontal, two conditions, organic or genetically modified, two outcomes, standing firm or falling flat. Jesus closes his sermon with an invitation to make a choice, foolish or organic. Built to code, fixed to the rock, immovable, wise. Please stand with me for the benediction. Father, anoint our eyes with eye salve that we may see. Touch and heal our ears that we can hear your still small voice in the chaos that we generate around ourselves. Send your Holy Spirit on a search and rescue mission for our hearts. We have lost them and haven't a clue how to retrieve them. Tear down and clear the rubble of our idolatry from our lives and open us to become channels of your love and mercy to a sin-sick world. Make this our desire in your name and for your glory. Amen.